Okay, let's unpack this. We've got an incredibly concerning stack of research today. It's detailing what can only be described as the next major step in, well, mobile malware evolution.
It really is.
We're looking at a campaign that's specifically targeting Android users, but the playbook, it's completely new.
And that's our mission today, right? To really understand how these threat actors are now actively weaponizing artificial intelligence.
Right.
And not just for simple efficiency, but to create applications that essentially become invisible to the usual security scanners.
So this is a deep dive into what intelligently adaptive evasion.
Exactly. It's this blend of social engineering with some really cutting-edge technical camouflage.
And our sources, they expose this sophisticated operation where the malware uses AI-enhanced obfuscation and, I mean, just incredibly clever ways to get the data out.
Camouflage data exfiltration, yeah. And it all hides in plain sight.
Mimicking a service that, you probably interact with every week.
And that's the central insight here. The detail that really elevates this threat is how they achieve that invisibility.
Okay.
We're going to uncover the specific, and it's almost astonishing, the technical trick they use. It involves random Korean text characters
To do what
to
exists?
completely neutralize traditional security algorithms, the ones that rely on pattern recognition. It turns the code from a known threat into meaningless noise.
So let's start where any good malware campaign has to start: building trust.
Yep.
Before the code can do anything, it has to trick you. It has to trick you into downloading it and then trusting it with permissions.
And it does that by exploiting a universal user expectation. The main disguise is mimicking well-known package delivery tracking services.
Which everyone uses.
Constantly. I mean, think about it. You order something, you get a text or an email about a delivery, and you just naturally click the link or download the app to see where it
It
is.
feels necessary, yeah.
It's a moment where your caution is often, a little bit lower than usual.
So you download one of these fake apps. You grant it permissions that seem, well, they seem necessary for tracking, right? Network access, maybe location. How do they then use that initial trust to move into, the full exploitation?
Well, that's the brilliance of the dual function. First, they create an app interface that looks completely authentic.
So it looks and feels like the real deal.
100%. And while you're interacting with it, the malware is actually connecting to real package tracking websites in the background.
Wait, how?
It does this using automatically generated tracking numbers. So even if they aren't real packages that you're expecting, it's pulling real-looking data.
So hold on. The app creates a verifiable illusion of legitimacy. If I just punch in some junk number, the app might actually show a believable update.
Precisely. They establish operational credibility. This keeps you engaged, and it really minimizes any suspicion.
And it justifies those permissions you gave it at the start.
It does. So while you're busy tracking your imaginary package, the malware is operating stealthily in the background, and that's when it starts the harmful collection.
And what's the immediate goal there? Is it going for high-value stuff like banking logins right away, or is it broader?
They cast a massive net. The priority seems to be intelligence and just a comprehensive device takeover.
So what are we talking about?
Our sources confirm they are aggressively collecting contact directories, all your messaging content, SMS, maybe even third-party apps,
Oh.
direct call history, unique device identifiers, location data. And then, yeah, it's also looking for opportunities to steal financial credentials.
Depending on the permissions you grant it.
Exactly. This thing is designed to operate continuously, patiently siphoning data over time.
That transition from a harmless-looking tracking app to a full-blown surveillance tool is pretty unsettling.
It is.
But that's only half the battle, right? This next part is where the technical innovation really shines. How do they make the malware itself invisible?
This is where we get into the AI and the obfuscation. So analysts found that the threat actors, they leveraged AI to enhance a standard Android tool. It's called ProGuard.
ProGuard. I've heard of that. That's a legitimate tool, isn't it? Developers use it to shrink their code.
That's right. They use it to shrink and obscure code to make it smaller and, harder for competitors to reverse engineer.
So ProGuard already makes code less readable by design. How does adding AI to that supercharge it into an offensive weapon?
Well, traditional ProGuard, it often follows predictable patterns when it renames things, class names, function identifiers, variables.
Then security scanners are trained to look for those patterns.
Exactly. They look for the outputting of traditional obfuscation. They spot common sequences or structures that basically scream, "This code is designed to be hidden."
Okay, so the AI component just breaks that pattern.
It disrupts it entirely. And this is where that random Korean text comes in. It sounds almost ridiculous, but the effect is profound.
So explain this. I'm fascinated by this detail.
It's a phenomenal example of strategic evasion. The AI-enhanced obfuscation process. It transforms every key element of the malicious code.
The names of the variables, the functions, all that stuff.
All of it. It transforms them into random 8-character strings composed entirely of Korean text.
That's wild.
I mean, imagine you're a security guard and you're only trained to recognize English and Latin characters, right?
Okay.
If a massive, complex document is suddenly handed to you in, say, thousands of random 8-character Chinese symbols, your whole system just breaks down.
I see the analogy. A security scanner, especially a signature-based one, it relies on pattern matching. It has a dictionary of known bad code.
Exactly. So when those algorithms encounter hundreds of functions named using random combinations of, you know, Korean Hangul characters, they can't match it against their database.
Because the database is all English or Latin-based malware signatures.
Yeah.
Right. The code elements become unrecognizable. It's so much more effective than just using alphanumeric gibberish because the character set itself is completely unexpected for the systems they're targeting.
So the AI has learned how to generate unique identifiers that bypass the very systems designed to spot automated code changes. That's a staggering level of adaptation.
And this wasn't an accident. You can see the strategic planning here. While they obscured the functional core of the malware,
the guts of it.
Yeah, the variables and functions, they intentionally left the resource names unchanged.
Why? Why would they leave any part of the code exposed?
Because the app still needs to work. It has to maintain that illusion of being a package tracker.
Oh, I see.
If they obscured the resource names, things like the buttons, images, layout files, the app would probably crash or just fail to load its interface.
So it shows this careful balance, maximum concealment for the bad stuff, but just enough transparency for the good-looking front end.
Precisely.
And that meticulous plan, and it must extend to the final step, right? Getting the stolen data out.
It does.
Once they have all those contacts and messages, how do they exfiltrate that data off the device without tripping every single network firewall alert? This is the third layer of camouflage, and this one is all about network traffic. See, if the malware were to connect directly to some static known malicious server, that IP address would get blacklisted immediately. The firewall would flag it. Game over.
So instead they leverage compromised legitimate websites?
Exactly. They channel the stolen data through websites that the network already trusts. They use them for their command and control, or C2.
What kind of sites are we talking about?
In this case, often trusted Korean web portals. They find a breach, they get in, and they repurpose parts of those sites, usually an obscure blog page or something, to act as a temporary staging ground for their C2 addresses.
So how does the app on the phone know which blog page to read to find the current server address? That sounds incredibly complex to manage.
Well, that's the dynamic retrieval detail. Instead of hard coding the C2 address into the app itself.
Which would be a dead giveaway. A total giveaway. Instead, the application is programmed to fetch the current C2 address dynamically from a specific embedded location within one of these legitimate external web pages.
Which means the attackers can change the server address instantly just by editing a blog post.
Without ever updating the malware itself.
So a security team identifies one C2 server, they blacklist it, and the attackers just update the hidden post, and the malware is instantly redirected to a new, clean server.
Exactly. The security teams who are monitoring the network logs, they just see continuous connections to legitimate domains. A popular news site, a known forum.
The data theft just blends in with normal browsing.
It blends seamlessly, and that complicates remediation efforts immensely because you can't just block the whole domain. You'd be blocking a legitimate site.
And this isn't just a proof of concept, right? The sources say this is an active, sustained campaign.
Oh, it is. Security researchers have already documented 5 distinct samples of this malware, and each one has a unique cryptographic signature.
Which tells us they're not just reusing old code.
No, they are actively developing new variants. It just reinforces this idea that the AI-enhanced system allows for rapid, continuous adaptation.
So if we pull back from all these technical details for a second, the Korean text, the dynamic C2, what's the overall message here? What does this mean for our defense strategies?
I mean, the immediate implication is that the fundamental principles of traditional security are, well, they're failing against this kind of threat.
Because they're too static.
They're too static. If we rely on signature-based antivirus, which looks for exact matches of known bad code, or even simple heuristic analysis, which looks for suspicious structures, we are always going to be playing catch-up. These threats are designed specifically to bypass that.
So we have to shift our focus from looking at what the code looks like to looking at what the app is actually doing.
That's it. It's moving towards behavioral analysis.
And for the everyday user, what's the actionable takeaway?
It's rigorous permission scrutiny. I mean, this whole social engineering trick relies on you granting access. So here's the red flag. A package tracking app has absolutely no legitimate reason to ask for your contacts, your text messages, your call logs, or your financial data.
None.
None. Legitimate ones need basic network access, maybe location. When you see that discrepancy, that should be your immediate stop sign. Just terminate the installation.
And for downloading anything, especially if it's from a link in a text message, what's the gold standard?
You exclusively download from official vetted repositories, like the Google Play Store. And even then, you have to thoroughly verify the developer's credentials.
Right, because these campaigns often rely on tricking you into installing from some untrusted third-party site.
Where they can bypass all the platform security checks.
So what about for organizations for advanced users? Since this malware hits the device but then uses camouflage on the network,
Yeah.
what are the advanced defense strategies?
Well, the technological shift required is moving beyond just traditional endpoint protection. We're talking about integrated mobile threat defense platforms.
And what do those do differently?
They use behavioral analysis. They're monitoring the app's real-time actions. Is it trying to access SMS logs without permission? Is it collecting too much data? And they use machine learning detection algorithms that can spot anomalies even in obscured code.
And on the network side, how do you deal with that camouflaged C2 traffic?
Enhanced network monitoring becomes critical. Your security teams have to move beyond just checking if a domain is on a
They
blacklist.
need more context.
So much more context. They need systems that can identify unusual data transmission patterns. Like, a huge volume of encrypted outbound traffic to a known blog site at 3 in the morning.
Right, that behavioral anomaly.
That anomaly is the only thing that distinguishes the malicious traffic from the benign traffic when they're going to the same trusted domain.
Let's end with the most crucial immediate takeaway. If a user thinks they've installed a suspicious app, one that's asking for weird permissions, or seems too interested in their private data, what are the three steps they must take right now?
Instantly. You have to act instantly. First, immediately disable all internet connectivity on that device. Turn off your Wi-Fi, turn off your mobile data. That stops the exfiltration.
Okay, step one, cut it off.
Step two, uninstall the questionable application, get it off the device.
And third.
Third, and this is the most important part, because you can't trust the potentially compromised device anymore, you change all of your important account passwords, email, banking, cloud services. All of it.
Yeah.
And you do it from a separate secure device.
That is vital guidance. We've seen today that AI is now an incredibly potent tool in the hands of malicious actors. It's enhancing obfuscation and evasion far beyond what we've seen before.
And that use of randomized Korean text is just, it's the perfect symbol of this next generation threat. It forces defenders into a reactive stance, trying to decode something that was designed specifically to be unrecognizable.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to consider. If threat actors can successfully use AI to dynamically hide code from known security patterns, the very next evolution will likely involve AI that dynamically writes unique, adaptive, malicious code.
Code tailored specifically to the vulnerabilities of the individual device it lands on.
Which raises a really pressing question. How can security innovation possibly keep pace when the threats themselves are learning and customizing faster than the defenders can deploy updates?
Stay vigilant. Question every request for deep system access and really apply what you've learned today about these behavioral indicators in your own digital life.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive. Stay safe out there.